I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, hour number two. What's going on? Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. And we're coming from our studio here, the Rocket Mortgage Studio. And Rocket Mortgage giving away $2.5 million prizes during Super Bowl 55 that could be used to buy your dream home. Hooking you up. See rules and enter today. Just go to RocketMortgageSquares.com. All right, so here we are into hour number two. Give you a heads up. Hour three, Darren Waller, outstanding tight end for the Raiders. He is a beast. He'll join us to help us preview the Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills and also talk about the future of the Raiders and how it's going out there in Vegas so far, 1 year in the desert. Also this hour, Josh Norman, more directly on the Bills and the Chiefs. He's on the Bills, obviously. We'll talk with him. But, Teek, now we get a chance to chat with a gentleman who is having a terrific season personally, team's second-leading scorer for the Baylor Bears, who are they've been a very good program for a while, but they're number two in the country right behind Gonzaga. They've yet to lose, and they've, you know, like most, they've had a few interruptions, a few cancellations, a few postponements, but they have not tripped up, and they had a huge couple of days. They just beat Texas Tech and Kansas, two top 15 teams in the span of 3 or 4 days. So right now, Baylor basketball is happening, and we're joined by Maceo Teague, and he is putting up nice numbers, as I said, a senior guard. And Maceo's with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Maceo, how you doing today, pal? Welcome to the show. How are you?
Thanks for having me. I'm doing great. How are you?
Awesome. Really appreciate you carving out some time and obviously juggling quite a bit. It's. I'm sure it's not the way that you envision this when you, even though you signed a letter of intent, you didn't go to Baylor initially, but when you're a star in high school, when you envision your college career, there's no way to envision a pandemic. You know, every time we have a college player on, we want to know because there's unique circumstances. How was it on campus? How is it day to day getting through this? And how are you guys holding up? What is it like so far this season?
It's been really weird on campus. You know, just at the game the other night, it was only 25% attendance. It's only been 25% attendance in all the Big 12 games. So that aspect is really weird. It's weird just seeing people on campus with masks on, everything spread out. It used to be a lot more tables where people could congregate and speak and just fellowship. And now that aspect of campus life is pretty much cut out due to the pandemic. So, I mean, it's been a strange time in 2021, but, I mean, we're all getting through it in the same way.
Yeah, and Maceo, you've had such an interesting journey. I mean, you took a graduate year in high school, so you probably to get recruited more. You went to UNC Asheville. You were there for 2 years. You're Big South Player of the Year as a freshman, and then you made All Big South, and you transferred to Baylor. You played great last year. You guys went 26-4. Looked like you were going to make a great run in the tournament. Obviously, it gets canceled. You declare for the draft. Then you come back. I mean, your journey has been pretty epic. You know, take us through your mindset in going into what will be your last senior, your redshirt senior year at Baylor, and the importance of the success of this season, especially after what you missed out in last year because of the pandemic.
You know, there's a lot of importance on this season, just as a team and as an individual. As a team, we just want to win a national championship because we know that gives everybody on the team a chance to reach their goals, reach their ultimate dreams. Until the victors go to spoil. So we just want to win as much as possible. And that's mainly what we're focused on as a unit in the locker room. The main thing that we all come back on is winning. Whether I have a good game, Jared has a good game, Davion has a good game, we all just want to win the basketball game because the more you play, the more people get to see you. So that's what we focus on at in the locker room at Baylor.
You know, it's interesting when you talk about the more you play, because right now we haven't seen a lot of college basketball. Here and there, it fits and starts. You see cancellations happen. And Gonzaga, as BT was mentioning, is the number one team. A lot of people are saying, oh, it's Gonzaga and everybody else. You guys actually had an opportunity, but it got canceled to play Gonzaga. That one game earlier in the season, it's got to sit in your craw a little bit that you didn't get to prove yourself, because you guys have been really good the last 2 years, to prove yourself against who a lot of people are saying is the best team in college basketball and foregone going to win the NCAA tournament. Does that hurt you guys a little bit?
I wouldn't say it hurts us. We play in the best conference in the country. So, I mean, we just played Kansas, mm-hmm. and we played Texas Tech before that. We were supposed to play West Virginia the game before that, but that game got canceled. I mean, we got Texas coming up. I mean, we got Oklahoma State, and they got a projected, I don't know, he's probably top three, at least in the lottery, in the mock draft, and Cade Cunningham. So, I mean, there's a lot of talent that we're playing here at Baylor University. So, I wouldn't say that we're necessarily missing out on anything. If we play them, we'll play them.
So I love the attitude. So, and you should, with the kind of team you guys roll out. That's the attitude I would have, too. That's Maceo Teague from Baylor, number two of the country, undefeated. So, you know, listen, this is unique. You know, I know because I do stuff for St. John's. I was on campus today, and it's a ghost town. Nobody's there. I had to film something with their head coach, Mike Anderson, and I walked into the arena, and you know, the young men were getting COVID tested. And, you know, the one thing that you know is that you're going to grow as a team in terms of chemistry, because that's all you're with. You're just with your guys, your teammates, your coaches, and the best programs have the best talent and the best chemistry. But do you feel that the teams become even tighter this year just based on the circumstances? You almost have no choice but to get along even better, right? You have to. You're with each other every day.
Yeah, right. After practices and stuff like that, we spend a lot of time not in the locker room, but because we're spread out and they kind of get us out of there kind of fast. So we're just because like they're tracking how long we're next to each other. But we'll go in the gym. We'll sit and talk with each other after a workout or after practice or after we eat. And we're just all talking to each other, just talking about life, talking about anything, basketball, just a whole bunch of different things that that we maybe wouldn't do in the height of a pandemic or if we weren't in a pandemic. So we definitely become closer this past season.
You know, what's school like, Maceo? Like, what are you guys remote? Are you guys in classes? You're sitting separate? Like, what's school like? Because we almost forget that sometimes when we talk about college sports and the college athletics and the athletes. But what has it been like in schools?
You got to wear a mask everywhere, but you got to walk on campus with a mask on. Then you get to class. They give you sanitary wipes to wipe the chairs down. Your mask has to be on the whole time. It used to be because college is more laid back than high school, so you could some professors would let you eat in their class. And a lot of times, I've graduated already, so I take night classes. So right after practice, I got to go to class. So I'm very hungry, and they don't allow me to eat in the class. So it's kind of hard for me. But you can't drink in the classes, things like that, and they have you super spread out. So it's actually really weird. It's a tough time right now, but like I said earlier, we're just all getting through it.
That's all you can do, young man. That's all you can do. And you sound like, incredible head on his shoulders. Huh, Teague? It's very apparent
it is.
Mr. Teague was raised the right way for sure. What about, I don't even know if you guys get too into this in terms of, you know, the NCAA tournament, but this made some news here that rather than, you know, the different pods and working your way to the Final Four, everything's going to be in Indianapolis this year. It's a different feel. It's a different vibe. I don't want to say is it disappointing, maybe I will. Is it a little disappointing that you won't have the conventional route to get to the Final Four and hit a bunch of different cities and have Baylor fans travel? That's got to be a little discouraging. I'm not trying to be a downer, but that's the reality of a pandemic. It's got to stink a little bit.
Yeah, it does. It does, definitely. But, you know, I would want to go to different cities, but since it's in Indianapolis, I'm from Cincinnati. That's an hour and a half away, so
that's true.
I'm right next to home.
That's
so
true.
I'm enjoying that a little bit. I'm not going to lie to you guys.
Wait, Maceo, did you guys go to the tournament at Asheville, or no? You didn't, right?
No, sir. This would be my first time.
I was going to say. So this is your first time. I mean, that's a crazy thing to think about. As a redshirt senior,
yep.
And the journey that we talked about that you've been on, and you know how really good this team is right now. And your coach, Scott Drew, he's been there forever. I mean, what is this, 18 years I think he's been there. How is he keeping you guys focused on the task? I mean, the hype is starting to get loud around this Baylor program, and it's easy to get distracted. I know that you guys are mostly upperclassmen, a lot of redshirt seniors and juniors, etc. But how is Coach Drew keeping you guys focused on what's important? And that's winning the Big 12, as you mentioned, the toughest and maybe best conference in college basketball. But how is he keeping you focused?
He just tells us to play for Jesus first, others second, and then ourselves. And just if we're playing for ourselves, if we're playing for others first, then that means that we're sharing the wealth. Everybody gets to eat in that aspect. We're sharing a ball while we're on the floor, and just feel like that helps us with our chemistry. And if we're having good chemistry, that helps us win games. So that's, I think, the biggest thing that Coach Drew is preaching to us in the locker room.
You know, it's interesting because you mentioned about, you know, sharing the wealth, and it's not about, look at me, I score 30 tonight. I'm curious your decision. You decided to go pro, you hired an agent, and then you came back. What prompted that? Was it part because you didn't get a chance to play in the NCAA tournament? Again, it was canceled last year, as we all know. This will be your first year, as you just mentioned. But what prompted you to want to come back to Baylor?
Partially because I didn't get to play in the NCAA tournament. My wrist was broken at the time, and I just felt like I could have had a better year going for the last, I think, seven games of the year. After I broke my wrist, I felt like I just kind of underperformed. I mean, because my wrist is broken on my shooting hand, and I still played decent, but I just felt like it was best for me to go back to Baylor and finish out my senior year.
Who's a player in the NBA that you watch that you say, all right, that's what I foresee myself being? That's a skill set that is transferable for me from Baylor up to the NBA. Who jumps out to you?
Honestly, I didn't like it at first, but then I was watching him play when he was playing for Dallas, and I was just watching him. I'm like, I can do that. Then I saw him do something else. I'm like, I really do that too. Like, he just kept doing moves that I would envision myself doing, and it was Seth Curry.
Yeah.
I really think our game is kind of similar. Like, so now I watch him all the time on a thing called Synergy. I look up his clips. I watch how he maybe created space on his jump shot, maybe how he created space coming off of a down screen, and just trying to use the things that he does in the game and try to put it in my game here at Baylor.
Hey, Teek, you notice he likes him even more now because he got paid free agent with Philadelphia. Philadelphia cut him off some cheese. Now Maceo really likes him.
That's right.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, I do like him. I liked him for a while now, though. But
I got you.
He's a really good player.
Yeah,
he's blossoming.
Yeah, a couple of questions before we let you go here, Macy. I know you got to get back to school and everything else. But, you know, the Big 12 has been dominated by Kansas. And last year you guys beat them early. Then you lost to them. And I forget who the other team you lost to. West Virginia was another one down the stretch. And they ended up taking the conference. You know, how important is that? I mean, we talk about the NCAA tournament. And it's a shoe-in. Baylor is going to be a number one seed in one of the brackets. But how important is the conference to you all this year?
It's really important. I wouldn't say it's as important for me because I won two conference titles when I was at Asheville. I feel like I would have won a tournament conference tournament last year since we didn't win the regular season. But Coach Drew, he's never won the regular season or the tournament conference title. So I just want to win it for him. Honestly, that's really how I look at it. I want to win it for him. Like, for me, it's gonna be cool. But for Coach Drew, I feel like he deserves it the most. He's feel like he's been here for 18 years. He's built the program from the ground up when he got here, and just wanted for Coach Drew a lot.
We had him on the show. You know, I know you mentioned before what Coach asks of you to do for others and to put your faith. And obviously, Baylor has a strong religious background. And the thing about Coach Drew is, and you could obviously sniff this out, you knew what you were signing up for when you decided to go to Baylor,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, what he preaches is real. You know, there's no, you know, there's no fakeness there. There's no elevating, you know, religion to a place just for, you know, public sentiment. And then when nobody's watching, he's a different person. Like, he's got to be a real, I'm not going to say a father figure, but like a real reliable figure for all of you. Like, I would think that you would revere him.
Yeah, for sure. Coach Drew, he's, like you said earlier, like, he really practices what he preaches. I mean, he doesn't cuss. He says stuff like, get your butts back on D. I mean, that was kind of odd when I first got here and I heard him say stuff like that. But, I mean, his faith is in God. It's for sure in God. That's the number one thing. He talks to us all the time. He says at the end of the day, if none of you guys make it to the NBA, if none of you guys if none of us win another basketball game in here, he said, as long as you die and go to heaven, he said, that's what I really care about. And there's a lot of sincerity in his heart when he says that. I'm sure he still likes to win games, but at the end of the day, there's a lot of sincerity in his heart when he says that he wants us all to go to heaven.
That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, you can't end it on a better statement than that. Listen, Maceo, really good having you on the show. Nice to get to know you a little bit. We watch you, obviously, but as I said before, you sound like a terrific young man. Just keep climbing, my friend. Nice to have you on the show.
Yeah, likewise. Right, good luck, man.
Thank you all for having me. Take it easy.
Our pleasure. You got it. Impressive, Atik?
Yeah, no, they are. I mean, they're an impressive team. Taylor. He's an impressive man, young man. And again, his journey's interesting, man. You could tell he probably wasn't highly recruited. Mm-hmm. So he went and took that extra year, that I think they call it a gap year. I forget what they call it.
Prep school.
Yeah.
So, like PG, post-grad.
Post-grad. Yeah, that's what it is, post-grad year. And then he goes to UNC Asheville and then transfers ultimately to Baylor. And here they are. I mean, they were great last year until the end. And that Big 12 schedule hit them a little bit.
Oh, it's a beast of a conference.
Especially down the stretch until they got knocked down, and I think Kansas won the regular season title. Obviously, there wasn't a tournament, a conference tournament or an NCAA tournament. They were going to be a one seed, and they would have had a real chance to go deep. So this year, it's almost like redemption for them because they kept a lot of the guys. A lot of the guys didn't bounce, didn't leave.
Yeah.
And, that's how you get good teams. You keep seniors around.
Well, I mentioned before, you know, when we introduced him, I think it came up in one other point during the interview too. You know, you coming off the Kansas win a couple of days before that. You beat Texas, who was Texas Tech, who was 13 or 14 in the country. Kansas was top 10, like 8 or 9. And the game before that, they were supposed to play West Virginia, which is, I believe, right around 13.
Mm-hmm.
I, without being a prisoner of the moment, I mean, maybe there is a situation that somebody could find me. But I was thinking about this during the interview when you were asking one of your questions. I don't know if there's a tougher trio. Now, he didn't play West Virginia, but between Huggy Bear, who's an all-time great coach, Beard, who is an amazing coach and in 10 years could be an all-timer. He's getting going. And Bill Self, who's an all-timer.
That's right.
Back to back to back?
Yeah, that's right.
That's daunting, man. Oof. All right. Good stuff with Maceo Teague. Really enjoyed that. Let's get a timeout. Coming up, so Adam Silver with an interesting request for NBA players. Some might deem it a little bit aggressive or a little bit much or a little bit unfair. We'll get to that, and we'll make sense of it. We'll hit you up with that coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. We got Josh Norman coming up next segment of the Bills, getting to the matchup coming up this weekend. Conference Championship Sunday, Bills and the Chiefs, and then, of course, the Packers and the Bucks. We've got Darren Waller, third hour, Raiders tight end. He is an absolute beast. You know, we want to get into this interesting story, I guess, is a good way to frame it. From Adam Silver and possible early COVID vaccinations and also a subset of that. But I want to, you know, here's what I don't understand. And now, of course, my page refreshed and I can't find the cheese. This always happens, Teak. I guess I could just go to Woj's page. Woj had something. He tweeted something. So there's a game canceled tonight, which I believe will be the 16th or the 18th cancellation in the NBA. Here it is. It's going to be the 16th, right? So Woj tweeted this out. This time it's Memphis and Portland. And now the league has sent a memo to teams, right, describing the stationing of team security at midcourt to dissuade hugging and handshakes.
Yeah.
Now,
post-game.
Post-game, obviously. I don't understand. I mean, it's a colossal waste of time.
It is.
It's just for the optics. Like, well, all right, they're trying to dot all their I's, which I respect, but you tell me that you're going to lean on somebody for 48 minutes and sweat and exchange, you know, DNA?
Bodily fluids.
Bodily fluid? That just sounded gross. I was thinking bodily fluids, but I didn't want to say it.
It is what it is.
I know. It is sweat. What it is. DNA? And, you know, you're going to have some, 50-something-year-old security guard. Oh, you shake hands. Like, they're going to listen to the guy anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, what does this prove? What does this prove?
It is for the optics, BT. I mean, they also have these guys who practice and spend a lot of time together sitting 6 feet apart while they're on the court. I mean,
yeah.
I get it. I understand it. Maybe they just force you to put the mask on like they are starting to do in the NFL on the sideline. As soon as you come off the field, you put your mask on, even though you're in the same situations. You're in the meeting rooms. You're having these conversations with these guys in close proximity over and over again. It's an optics thing, I think, maybe to be the example that they want the, they're trying to espouse to the rest of the country, perhaps, which is kind of why Adam Silver, in the similar thinking, you know, wants the NBA players to take the vaccine. So it is what it is. I think it's all about sending messaging, and the NBA is being acutely aware of the messaging that they're sending to America.
Which at the end of the day, that's actually not a bad thing. That's a good thing when you really think about it, but it just, you know, it's
yeah, we're not stupid little, though. I mean, it doesn't make logical sense to let guys sweat and bang and breathe all over each other, getting their mugs, everything else, and then not be able to shake hands after the game.
Precisely my point. Now, Commissioner Silver said the league's discussed having players receive COVID-19 vaccines to educate and influence the public regarding their safety and effectiveness. Here's a quote. There's been discussions. It's something we're particularly focused on. And then he states, in the African-American community, there's been enormous impact from COVID, but now somewhat perversely, there's been enormous resistance to vaccinations in the African-American community for understandable historical reasons. If that resistance continues, it would be very much a double whammy to the black community, because the only way out of the pandemic is to get vaccinated. And I know that a lot of people are aware of, you know, what Karl Anthony Towns has dealt with. First, he himself has it, and thank God it looks like he's going to be okay. But, you know, Karl Anthony Towns has lost 7 family members.
I didn't realize it was 7. That many. Wow, that's crazy. I remember 7. His mom, we mourned his mother passing away, Jackie, a couple of months ago, month and a half. So
right, it was
so
pretty early. It was more than that.
Yeah.
I think it was more than that.
Maybe it was. It was.
7 family members.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a whole lot. It almost makes you feel like, I don't know, there's like a genetic misunderstanding that we're not talking about with, you know, why certain people are more susceptible to passing away from from COVID than actually just getting it and getting better.
Yep.
That's scary. 7. I didn't realize it was that many.
It's horrendous.
How is he still playing? I mean, I know
it's... You mean from a mental frame?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like, how are you functioning?
Don't know.
With all that going on?
I'm sure not well. He's there in body, but not necessarily, or in spirit.
Yeah.
Not necessarily body and spirit, but maybe not mind, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
So this notion of a PSA, is it not out of bounds?
Yeah.
Is it too aggressive? Is it the wrong angle to kind of get what you need and what you want for your business?
Yeah, I mean, look, I understand what he's saying, but I think the scarcity of the vaccine right now is probably more important than encouraging a specific, in this case, African-American black community to want to get the vaccine. Because there's a lot of people. And I know this just because I hear my friends talking about it here locally. And that's both in New York and New Jersey and also Pennsylvania. Because my running buddy, Adam, who you met, he works in Pennsylvania. He's a teacher in Pennsylvania. And certain states put different restrictions on who gets to go first. Mm-hmm. You know, teachers aren't on the top of the list,
which is amazing to me.
It's unreal.
That's despicable.
So it depends on what state you live in, and so I think that's, to me, more front of mind.
Yeah.
Even though I know what Adam Silver saying is correct, it's just I still think that there are the priority's got to be right on who's most susceptible to the coronavirus and who needs to be top of the line.
Do you know anybody that's actually gotten the vaccine?
A lot of people that have gotten the vaccine.
So do I. I'm starting more and more. It's starting to...
Well, you know what? You know what happened?
And stretch out a little bit.
Not to make this a vaccine conversation, but what happened is it once it's out of the storage unit, the fridge, you have to use it.
Well, the biggest issue is the cooling temperatures.
That's
right. for the fridge.
Yeah, and you,
that's
so you
the biggest issue.
So you have to use it.
That's why
it.
Like pharmacies aren't really equipped for it.
That's
yet.
Right. You have to use it, and so if you have a testing facility, and I know this happened locally here, BT. Yeah. It was, we want the first responders to get tested, to get vaccinated. And a lot of them, whether it was police or who EMS or whatever, they weren't getting vaccinated. Either they didn't have time or they didn't want to get it. And so what ended up happening was there was a ton of surplus that they end up having to throw away of the vaccine. And so they changed the laws, I think, locally here. And they now immediately have to go to hospitals. So post, you know, whatever it is, 5 o'clock, let's say, end of day.
End of shift.
The surplus of the vaccine goes to a hospital now.
Yeah.
As opposed to just going into the dumpster somewhere. So that's why you're starting to see more and more people get the vaccine.
That should have pretty much been obvious.
No, I don't disagree.
Not one drop of vaccine should ever find the dumpster.
I agree. But it did. That's the
point. I know.
Because you couldn't keep it. So,
Look,
I think there is value to just get back to the Adam Silver point. There is value in using athletes who are influencers as examples of the vaccine being safe. But I don't think it's about, you know, Black Americans saying the vaccine's not safe. I think it's Black Americans saying, how do I actually have access to the vaccine? Like, how do I get it? I have no idea. You know, where do I go? And who do I talk to?
I don't know if it's that different for white Americans.
That's right.
I'm not getting it anytime soon.
So for anybody, I know he's talking specifically about Black Americans, but it's really America that needs some education on what's the process. And so if you know, you know. But if you don't know, you have no idea.
You nervous to get it?
No, I probably won't get it, but we'll see. I haven't gotten a flu vaccine in years, and the last time I did, I had a reaction to it. And so I've always been, and I never get the flu, knock on wood, so we'll see. Hopefully herd immunity. Everyone around me gets the vaccine, so I'll be safe.
They'll be your fullback.
Exactly.
You have a fullback all around.
They'll be my Greg Camellas and Jim Finns.
Yeah. You know, the one thing, I don't know if a lot of people would agree with this, but, and I really heard nobody say this, because you talk about the frontline responders and everybody that needs to get the vaccination right away, as they should. They should be first in line. The elderly as well, protect them, of course, and then people who are keeping us safe every day, they need to get the shot. But, you know, I believe that you can make a case, like, if you want to, at the end of the day, if you're going to ignore COVID protocol, you're going to ignore it anyway, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you can make a case. How strong that is, I'll let everybody else determine on their own time. But I can make the case that by vaccinating all the athletes, and I don't just mean in the NBA, Major League Baseball, let them start on opening, you know, March 30th opening day, play 162. When you have things, right, that at least can fill the days and alleviate some level of boredom, that's not a bad thing. And that might keep people inside of their homes, because at least if they know, you know what, I could watch this game tonight. I'm not going to go and do whatever that's dangerous. It's not the worst thing. I'm not saying that should be level one, but, you know, or tier one, but you get to like tier three and four. Maybe vaccinating all the pro athletes isn't the worst thing in the world, because it's entertainment.
Yeah, I think
it's something to watch. Stay home.
Look, I know for a fact that in some regards, entertainment is essential work in this country. And so it is what it is. You're right about that, BT. So
you know?
you might see that happen, especially as they start, I think, getting better at producing and the vaccine and having it much more readily available than it currently feels like it is.
We're all hoping, we're all praying, we're all waiting. Let's get this done. Let's get the hell out. Let's start enjoying each other again. Let's start living. We're almost there. We're almost there. It's coming. We're almost there. All right, Teak, let's get the update. Axe got that. Josh Norman, he'll join us on the other side. We get ready for the Chiefs and the Bills with one of their corners, Josh Norman, at their Axe update, which is right now. Here's Rich. Sunday on CBS, a spot in Super Bowl 55 is the prize when Buffalo and the Bills take on the Kansas City Chiefs. It's the AFC Championship game, and we'll get you set up for the game starting at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific with JB and the guys. It's on the NFL today. The AFC Championship game, Sunday, only on CBS. All right, it's going to be all sorts of fun. The upstart Bills, the defending champions. This is going to be great. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Next hour, Darren Waller, the Raiders, their outstanding tight end. Get a thought on you know, maybe a little scout report from these two AFC teams or on these two AFC teams. But right now we get one from inside one of these two teams, and that is the Buffalo Bills. We're joined by their corner. Obviously started with a blast in Carolina and then went to Washington, first year with the Bills, and a good, solid, proud player, and he's with us here on the show. Josh, Tiki, and Tierney, how you doing today?
I'm good, man. I'm blessed, highly favored, can't ask more than what's been given. So.
Nice, good rules to live by.
I agree. Josh, you know, I find it interesting. You're like the old head on this team in Buffalo. It's your first year, obviously, as BT mentioned, but you've been around for a while. You and Mario Addison, you crossed over with, I think you crossed over in Carolina, are the old guys on this squad. And you guys, you know, have some experience that a lot of these young Buffalo players don't. What's your message heading into this game? Because we all know what's at stake, obviously. But what's your message to these guys since you've been around the block a few times?
you know, what's crazy is it seems like I'm an old head of the league in a sense. Looking back on it, not even 4 or 5 years ago, shoot, I was looking at other guys the way they looking at me. It's so weird. Like, it's like a role reversal that I've never saw coming. And now we're in it. It's just, gosh, I feel the same athletic ability as you are. What do you see me in this place for? Like, but, you know, I'm blessed. And as they say, the older you get, the finer the wine becomes. So I guess I'll take that as a compliment.
Yep.
But at the same time, I know what it looks like to go through games and being experienced in the sense of what to look for, what to go after. And for me, what always resonated was the ball. You know, whatever you do, go after the ball and make a play. And you've been here, like, you've been doing this all year. Now, yeah, it may be a little bit more hype. This is a championship game, you know, and nobody wants to go home. Neither them nor we do. So we have to be that much more sharper and be about our wits than we normally would any other game. But, hey, the preparation of the week is the same, and it's just probably got a little bit more, you know, how would I say, hot sauce to it.
Yeah, for sure. And by the way, forget about the wine. You guys keep winning, you're going to be drinking champagne.
That's right.
I mean, forget about the wine, you know?
Listen, man, we drink anything we want to.
Yeah, drink some MD 2020 if you win. Josh, let me ask you this. Because I think that, well, now I think a lot of people understand, but when you first went to Buffalo, or when you used to look at Buffalo before you were a part of the organization, let me frame it that way. What was your perception of the franchise?
Oh, man, the last place I'll be. I mean, just because, you know, it's cold. Like, it's just, I don't know, there's nothing really here. There's nothing really to do. I mean, Buffalo, not much of a winning team. And then turn around when Bean and Sean got here, you know, to Carolina, you kind of see the rejuvenation of the team, because you know that mindset, you know those guys bring, and so they got guys in here that was just, you know, hungry for ball, and you know, all the outside stuff was not what they, you know, wanted, and so they got in guys that really went through the mantra of what they wanted. And so when I saw that after last season playing up there in Washington, you know, it was just like, where we go next? And this was on the list, but I'm telling you, it was the last thing on the list. It's crazy how the Lord, like, really, you know, he laughs at your plans, because this place was something that I didn't think I would ever be. And now look at me. I love the place. I mean, it's snowing. It's white now, and I'm probably about to go out there and do some snow angels.
Nice.
It's just unbelievable how the mind just totally turns around like a full 180 to the point where now, look at us, in the championship game, one game away, like, you can't make this stuff up. And that's why I say faith is beyond, like, measures. And this is all just so fine and dandy, especially from what took place from last to this year. It's just like a total night and day change. And, you know, and being in something like this, I'm truly blessed and humbled to even just, you know, walk in that. But these guys have done a great job here, and it's just so fortunate enough that I was able to be a part of that and help.
Yeah, you know, you talk about that change, and I wonder, you know, because I think we've seen it coming. Like, when Coach McDermott, who you mentioned, got there, you could see the culture changing a little bit, and there was more accountability. And over the last couple of years, Josh Allen has started to grow into this star quarterback. But I think one, you know, part of this that I think a lot of people, even they're not worried about the X's and O's, is the fan base. I mean, this Bills Mafia, which you haven't experienced fully yet, because obviously nobody's been there, but except for the playoff game. But can you feel like this angst and this anticipation that's got to be permeating through Buffalo? Because it's been 27 years, man. 1993 was the last time they were in a championship game. You guys were in a championship game. Can you feel that percolating around this team?
Absolutely. And I also can feel the fire from the tables being broken out here.
Crazy.
Man, they've been going through them left and right. But no, Bill's body, they look great. I mean, this organization, like, not an organization, but outside organization, the community, man, they are so into this team. It's like almost like a college atmosphere. The team is, you know, what they wake up, sleep, eat, and breathe, and actually a part of their family, you know. And when you have all that going into it, it only, like, pushes us to drive to do more and more and more. And being in the facilities and seeing the guys, we are like a family because it's just we all we got, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We actually come there, work throughout the day, Monday, come in all the way until Sunday the game. And then guess what? After the game, we go home.
That's right.
We don't go out, we do anything, and we start all over again. You know, and I'm pretty sure they got a big part to do with COVID and how everything has been shut down. But for us, you know, we've got so much more closer that, you know, our days off, we coming in. You know, we getting treatment like it's just nothing to do, nowhere to go but to play ball and help out the community. And that's mm-hmm. what we've been doing. And it all has been coming up to being a winning formula for us this year.
So that's Josh Norman. He's had a terrific career. He's with us here on Tiki and Tierney CBS Sports Radio with the Bills now, obviously, getting ready for, we assume, Patrick Mahomes. I know that he practiced. I don't know if it was a high-speed practice. I don't really think that it was, but he did take reps today. Josh, how do you juggle this? Let's face it. I think we all expect Mahomes to play, but do you divvy up time to make sure you get some film on Henny? How do you guys handle this from a scouting and preparation point of view?
Well, we prep, yeah, we do every week. I mean, we don't look at it no other way other than the situation that unfolded last week. Yes, we was watching after our game, but, you know, at the same time, he goes out to a young man. He caught a, you know, stinger. I don't know what it was, but obviously you want the best to play. I don't think we want nobody, you know, going in there with not their full arsenal because that's how we want it. You know, anything worth eating in life, you don't want it. And so you go through the hard road. And if he's playing, that's a great thing for us. We'll be able to show our abilities and be able to go out there and play one of the top teams, or if not the best team, one of the best teams in the league. And that'd be great. I think Henny does a great job when he comes in there and being that game manager for him, for those guys, and make plays. He's been doing this stuff since he's been in the league. So it's a great time for us right now, and sitting back and seeing, you know, those guys and what they're able to do, and I'm sure they're ready for us too. So it's just gonna be a clash come Sunday, and we can't wait for it.
Yeah,
Josh, real quick there, Josh, when you're sitting there watching the game, when Kansas City moved on, beat the Browns, before they snapped that ball on fourth down and they actually iced the game, did you think they were gonna snap that?
I don't know. I don't think a lot of people was gonna snap it, but you know, Andy Reid, he trusting his players to be in the right spots and make the plays that they've been practicing. So, hey, he went with a call and trusted players, and they executed for him. So, shoot, man, I don't know. I don't know if I would. But hey, that's why, you know, they're reigning champs, man.
That's right. Yeah,
they're reigning champs. You got to have some, you know, kahunas about you to make those kind of calls, and he did. And
wait, Josh, we got to say the word right here. It's cojones, not cojones.
Hey, man,
he's
from Greenwood, South Carolina.
Hey, man, helping a brother out, man. Cojones.
Cojones, it is what it is. You know what I'm saying.
So, hey, next week he's going to be saying Goonies like the movie.
Hey, what you want to take it for? He dropped him.
Yeah, that's right.
I got you.
That's right. Josh, BT hasn't spent much time south of Mason-Dixon, so he don't get it.
Yeah, I have. I played a lot of ball down there.
I'm joking with you.
I'm not from down there.
Hey, Josh, you were talking about helping out the business and the community and what this Bills world is about. And I know you're involved in a bunch of different things, but you know, the Buffalo Business Blitz, you guys are heavily involved in this. It seems like, I mean, this is exactly what a community like Buffalo needs. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, the Buffalo Business Blitz, I'm not going to take credit for something. Elohim, Bobby, put it in my head. I was sleeping in a dream one night and just, you know, we got to help these people out. You know, and I've been getting messages from it. Even Poe, I talked to the teammate Poe, was like, what are we going to do about these small businesses? And I was just like, hey, look, man, let's do it in this way. And so on December 1st, I called up the mayor's office. Storage was working at the time. Was like, look, this is our idea that I have, and let's go for it. And so that was pretty much the start of it. And every week we've been getting donations to come in to help out the small business who was shut down this holiday season due to COVID.
Yeah.
And the things that happened within that, that's some of the most, you know, important times for these small businesses to get, you know, a good 30-40% of their revenue to come in. It's the holiday season, and they didn't have that. So we started that, and we started gaining money week in and week out, and it kept going. Team kept winning, so it's kind of went with it, and it kind of flowed in a sense. And so we got to January, and it really took off really much more. And so the $2,500 was a grant to all the small businesses, depending on what we raised. So I put a number of $1 million trying to raise it for these families out here. And so we coming up close to anywhere between $500,000 to $600,000. So it's getting there, man. We got a couple weeks left to see if we can get there before February 1st and cut these checks, these small businesses. But the Bills Mafia has been tremendous. I mean, I'm gonna go ahead and just say it right now. They donated $1.1 million to for Josh Allen's cause, and then they had donated like close to $400,000 to the Maurice Jackson cause last week.
Yeah.
And now, you know, we in a place where we at. So that's almost $2 million of donations that been coming out from, you know, this community, man. You can't do anything but tip your hats off to them. They're a classic organization. You just want to, you know, give them all the thanks in the world for it.
That's awesome. Yeah, they are very generous, no doubt about that up there. They do a great job of hooking the community up, as of you. That's awesome. Great to hear, Josh. Hey, by the way, you know, if you weren't such a great guy, I wouldn't ask you this, but did Derrick Henry send you a Christmas card? I feel like I could ask you this, Josh, and you're not going to get mad at me.
Well, I sent him one. How about that?
What did that feel like?
What did it feel like?
What did that feel like, man?
I don't know, man. You ever played a sport?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Not a contact sport.
Not that one, though.
Not a contact sport.
Not that one. Not football. No.
And that's the thing, man. I guess it's one of those, you look at it and you kind of like, ooh, you get some game. It's from the outside perspective, but when you're in play a field, he can probably tell you.
Yeah.
You're not thinking about none of that stuff that you're watching on TV or somebody. You're not thinking about that. You're actually thinking about the ball.
That's right.
Like,
you don't even realize it, to be honest with you.
Think about it. I didn't even think it was even that serious. Like, okay. And then the crazy part about it, it didn't even count.
Yeah, that's right.
But that's how it's just now.
Yeah.
We like stuff that don't count.
Oh, my God.
So it is what it is.
I got you.
You know, it's something that happened. But like I said, I'm fortunate enough to be where I'm at in this position. So if I had to take any of that heat, to be an AFC championship, I would have took 1,000 more.
No doubt. Hey, you're playing and he's not. We're watching. Have a great game. We can't wait for this on CBS. Josh, appreciate you, buddy. Thank you very much. It's awesome. Josh Norman in the house. Third hour, Darren Waller. Plus, how will we remember Philip Rivers? Next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.